Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls. The Harbinger. Maybe of things to come. We'll be back in a moment with Jonathan Cahn and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Jonathan, because you're an expert in ancient mysteries, do these omens somehow mirror the Book of Revelation?
Good question, because what it seems is that in the Book of Revelation, general biblical prophecy, you don't see America as a major power, and that opens up this door that America is not a leading power in end time prophecy. So what the Harbinger is filling in the gap really between this and that. It's kind of like the missing key of how does that happen that America is not in that picture. So it goes right to it, but it's kind of like the piece before it.
Well, and what's kind of frightening about all this is, the two of them somehow echo each other, even though they may be in stages, but the result is the same, apparently, and that is a disaster for us.
Yeah, and a lot of students of really end-time biblical prophecy have said this for a long time, that it has to be somehow, but they couldn't see how, but somehow America cannot be what it is today. It just cannot be. It's a world, end-time prophecy is a world that America is not playing a major role, and we're beginning to see the signs of it, and even, there's more and more voices, the end of the American era, and what happened, from 9/11, and then the economic collapse sped it up with more and more talk about this. So we're actually beginning to see it happen.
What if there was a leader who understood Revelation, understood prophecy, understood these omens, and simply channeled whatever direction we've gone in that way on purpose? Now, I know you say that, they've happened and nobody planned it, but what if somebody did?
Well, if they were trying, what I would say is that if they were trying to do it, it would be a fascinating thing. I would say that's always possible. With the Harbingers, the thing is that for the people, for instance, like the majority leader to say what he said. I mean, if he realized what he was doing. His career would have ended a lot sooner. And the same with John Edwards, and it's interesting that you say this because, there's one of the mysteries is the three witnesses, and the third witness is Barack Obama. And when he comes as president and he's dealing now with the economic collapse, and he comes to Capitol Hill to say, hey, it's okay. And in the center of his speech, he says, there's one thing I want every American to know. And then he says the central declaration of the ancient vow. He says, we will rebuild. We will recover. He actually says the exact words that Tom Daschle said on 9/11 from the vow. And if you were that night, if you were on the internet and you plugged in, you just wrote, we will rebuild, it would actually take you on the first page to the ancient vow of Israel. But after Obama said it, his words start replacing the ancient vow on the internet. It actually moves it up, even to this day, if you type it. So, and all over the world, the headlines are saying Obama vows we will rebuild, all over the world. And, did he realize? I don't believe he did. Now, what you said is conceivable. And of course, end time prophecy speaks of the Antichrist, and there's a whole bunch of stuff with that. So it is conceivable, I think. But in this case, these things are just kind of out of control. I mean, the beam hitting the tree, the stock market at the exact, moment. And by the way, George, this boggled me because nobody noticed that the two greatest crashes were happening on this exact day. And it did.
Yeah, that is bizarre.
Yeah.
To the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going to Patrick in the state of Washington, west of the Rockies. Patrick, good morning.
Morning.
Good to have you with us.
I would like to ask Jonathan, does his book or anything he's, come in contact with talk about, Islam and this great Mecca, this great city called Mecca, where they walk around in a circle around a black meteorite encased in marble? Is that part of this harbinger?
Well, I tell you, there's a lot of things to that, and I think that'll be another book, but there's a lot of things to that as far as Islam and the place in prophecy. There is something in the harbinger, for instance, we didn't mention one of the things, that the actual people who actually were leading this attack on ancient Israel. The people involved were the ancient Assyrians, and they were kind of like the Nazis of the ancient world. And they're the ones who made this strike. And actually, they are the fathers, and you can see this in the history book, they're the fathers of terrorism. They invented it. They perfected it. And so what it means is one of the harbingers is linked to the terrorists, that this thing has to be accomplished, and 9/11 has to be accomplished by people who are known as terrorists. They have to be somehow linked, and the people of, you know, the ancient Assyrians were, of course, in the Middle East. The terrorists of 9/11, Middle East. The ancient Assyrians, when they carried out their attack, they did it through the language of Akkadian, which is extinct. But there's one language today that is the remaining or the sister language of Akkadian, and that's Arabic. And that is the same language that the terrorists of 9/11 accomplished the attack. So there's a whole bunch of stuff with it. But it does, and interesting, and all goes back to the Middle East.
What does your gut tell you, Jonathan, about all of this? What do you think?
As far as where it's going?
Yes.
Yeah, well, my gut is that America, as it is going, is not turning. And I just like, you know, you said before, I don't see it. I mean, I don't see America turning as its mainstream culture is going in such a direction. And it's been very consistent. However, within America, I think one of the things is that, you know, and individuals are listening, you know, it's the individual. You know, people can turn. There can be spiritual revivals in the midst of it, even if the mainstream culture is going the other way. And the other thing is that sometimes people have said to me, well, what's it going to be? Is it going to be judgment or revival? And the answer is it can be both. And in the midst of a nation, there can be a people who are turning.
Yep, that could be too. Let's go East Point, Michigan. Mickey's with us, first-time caller.
Good morning.
Hi, Mickey.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I would like to ask two questions of your guest tonight.
Sure.
First of all, when the towers came down, there was a big plume of smoke that went up in the air, and people sort of said that it kind of looked like the devil up there in the sky, and then and what your guest take would be on that. And then the other question would be, or is, is there a way to help turn this whole situation around? Would it be something like, oh, those who are like called to pray or maybe pray? And that would be the second question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good question. Okay, first with the image that, yeah, I saw that. Very interesting.
It was weird.
Yes, it was weird. And certainly, and you know, 9/11 is just filled with these weird things and these omen things, you know. And the certainly, you know, it was satanic. I mean, these people who are driven to destroy people, you know, destroy innocent people, civilians, are it's satanically driven. On the other hand, it's allowed. So you got two things going on: allowed for redemptive purpose. So you have two things. So certainly there is the satanic involved, you know, without any question. And as far as the other thing is, you know, we mentioned and talk about the mystery ground and Solomon, and there is something that goes with an answer that goes back to that, because after Solomon prayed on that ground, and he must have seen a vision of what was going to happen, and there was going to be judgment. He got an answer. The Bible says he got a revelation, a word of prophecy, and in it says that the Lord said to him, "Well, Solomon, here's the thing: if they keep going their way, they're going to be destroyed. But he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their own evil ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal their land, I'll forgive their sin, I'll bring them redemption." So it's in Second Chronicles. That's a key verse. So yes, prayer is always the key. And also, it's not a thing of pointing the finger. You know, the harbinger is not pointing a finger at anybody, but it's up to each of us. We have to be living it. I mean, we have to be, you know, anything begins with an individual. So yes, and that is the key.
Okay, next up, we go to Meridian, Mississippi. Phil's with us. Phil, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, not a problem, man. I love listening to the show.
Thanks,
Philip. My dad and granddad were part of the construction crews in New York in the late 60s and early 70s, and he said that there was a church there at the corner of Ground Zero in 1789, I believe. But until the late 60s, early 70s, that was all under the Hudson River. There was no church there. That was all underwater. That all the land, the 16 or 18 acres that the Ground Zero sat on, was all underwater. That's all man-made land.
Okay, I'll answer that. The church was there from even before 1789. That St. Paul's, in fact, it's the oldest surviving church surviving building that's has always been continuously used in New York City. As far as the other thing, it's what you were told is partially right, that there was landfill at the end of what did this. However, the beginning of that, which is where Ground Zero is, was actually a field that was the very end of New York, and then beyond that is where they put landfills. So part of that is right there was the field, and it actually had a name, and it was owned by Trinity Church, which is the Church of St. Paul's. So it's partially correct that they filled in, but the actual land behind St. Paul's was there, the beginning of it, and that was Ground Zero. That was owned by the church.
But I've got pictures. I've got the actual plaques from the construction site hanging in my den.
Okay.
It shows that church is nowhere, is not near where the water is.
The church, you can go there today. And the church is right, the ground, the courtyard of St. Paul's is right at the corner of Ground Zero. And Ground Zero did exist. It wasn't water at the end of the church, so it did exist there. But it's absolute. I mean, because but beyond that was water.
Okay, thanks, Peter. Next up, we go to Queens, New York. Anson is with us. Hi, Anson. Thanks.
Hi, how you doing? Great show, guys.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, I have a comment and a question. Well, the question, first of all, is how great can this calamity be? What I mean by that is that here in New York, I see people attitudes getting worse all the time. And George has been talking about it for weeks, months now.
Yes.
How people's attitudes is out of control. Yesterday, I was at an intersection. I had the walk signal. And a guy almost ran me over. He didn't even let me cross the street.
And didn't care.
I had the walk signal. The people here in New York are going out of their mind. I mean, when they accelerate, when the red light changes green, you can hear the anger in the motor.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is here in New York. It's getting horrible. I'm planning the next 18 to 24 months to get out of here.
There's a tension everywhere, though.
Yes, I'd rather go somewhere peaceful, feeling quiet, get away from all this distraction and all the mess.
Well, can we find one of these places, though, John?
Yes, we can, because listen to this. I just heard a couple hours ago that Atheist Society is going to post billboards tomorrow in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and Paterson, New Jersey, saying God is a myth. Now, if that's not a sign of doom and destruction, I don't know what is.
Oh, geez.
God is a myth?
That's not going to go over too well.
Right.
I live right outside New York City. And just tell you, every time I go in, there's a kind of a burden that comes on you. When you leave, there's a relief.
Yeah, it's you had a question, Anson.
Yes, my question is, how bad do you see this thing being? Because I was reading about a Zulu prophet, Credo Mutua interviewed a Zulu prophet who died some years ago, and he's saying that, just like the mind is saying that 2012 is the end of this age, not the end of the world, but the end of this era,
yeah,
as you know it, because of the greed, the lust of power is out of control, and there's going to be a change, a drastic change in this calamity. Like the Zulu prophet mentioned, I sent George a copy of the flyer a couple months ago, last year. I don't know if he got it. I don't know if he got it, George. But it's going to be a life-changing event, a life-changing calamity. The Zulu prophet, it was a vision that he had, a vision before he died.
Yeah, I did get that.
And Credo Mutua, David Icke has interviewed him many times. If you go to Credo Mutua's website, Credo Mutua is a Zulu shaman from South Africa. And that Zulu prophet was from South Africa. And the calamity is supposed to be sometime in the Sierra.
See, and they're all saying the same thing. That's what's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Whether it's your book, The Harbinger, or the Book of Revelation, or a Zulu shaman, they're all saying the same thing, Jonathan.
Well, there's a sense, I think, and I think it's not only among these, there's a sense, I mean, that we are really in trouble. And I mean, if you ask me, when they do polls, most Americans say we're not on the right course, but they're not doing something to change that course. And that is, there's a very, very clear biblical pattern and dynamic, and that's exactly what it is. And it cannot, if we don't change our course, then the destiny is not changed.
Let's go to Estatula, Florida on the wild card line. Thomas, it's your turn.
Jonathan, Yep. Right. Pleasure to speak with you.
Likewise.
A thought, when it comes to your thinking and your thoughts, you started with building and a brick or a block or a piece of stone, rough, and then becoming perfect. The rough and perfect Asher. Your conversation is Masonic, whether you believe it or not, whether you are or not. What's the difference between change and correct?
What's the difference between, what was that?
Changing, everybody wants change. We have a president that was predicated upon change and correct.
Well, it, you know, change is change for the sake of change means nothing. I mean, you know, Hitler was change. You know, Stalin was change. That's not what does something. It's where, what are you changing to? I mean, if you're changing from what is good or moral in another direction, then it's not good. So it's change. It changes towards morality. It's changed to spirituality. It's changed to God. And so it all depends. You know, change in itself, it's not it. It's the right change.
Jonathan. You know, people read the book, The Harbinger. Will it scare them?
Well, I think there is that element. What we found so far, and I'm not saying this is a plug, but people have said they can't put it down. They often read it in one sitting or two sittings.
Oh, they want to get to the end.
Yes. And by the way, the Harbinger is, with all that, The Harbinger is a book of hope, and it goes to the answers and the way and the whole thing as it gets to the end, because that's the whole point. So I think there is... there is a kind of, you know, whoa, there is that, there's no question about that. It's a mixture between, I think, that, and I think so for some reason people have been excited about it, saying, wow, this is amazing. Because the other thing is, it's saying that it's not an accident, things are under control, that's the other side. You know, that there is an order, there is something that explains this. So that actually, more of the reaction is that. I mean, but it certainly has all that.
Okay, let's go to our Skype line, James in Denver, Colorado. Hey, James, thanks.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, Jim.
Oh, fantastic subject, like all of them you've been having for the last week. But anyway, yes, I can see the connection. We have a rabbi out here in Denver, Colorado, and his name is Rabbi Ralph Messer. Very interesting man, because he's opened my eyes so much with the days we're living in. And the days we're living in is what he's explained. We do have a chance. You know, he says it's by going back to the teachings of the Old Testament, you know, like in Exodus, you know, basically, you know, the teachings of our Heavenly Father. But anyway, I see the connection because, yes, the United States can be basically, you know, I guess, saved if we just go back to that teaching and instruction.
Well,
and that's the point. Yep.
Yeah, a major change, and the thing is, you're saying something. You can choose this, and you know, individuals can choose this and choose God. Then there's the culture itself, and we can't always control the culture, but we can control ourselves.
All right, give us your website, Jonathan.
The website is, there's two websites. One is is the harbingerwebsite.com. If they want to get the teachings behind the Harbinger, it's the harbingerwebsite.com or the harbingerwebsite.org. The ministry is, or just get in touch, is hopeoftheworld.com or hopeoftheworld.org. If they want to get the Harbinger, you can get it everywhere, from Amazon to Barnes & Noble to Walmart. And they just came out with a DVD two-hour documentary called the Isaiah 9:10 Judgment, and that's on Amazon. So
all
it's
right.
Really all over.
We're going to come back and take final phone calls with Jonathan Kahn in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Pam Osley joins us. We're going to talk about auras, and then we'll get the week rolling along with some great shows during the rest of the week for you on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Jonathan Kahn. Jonathan, did you feel like you had this mission to get this word out as you wrote The Harbinger?
Well, I felt, I mean, it really, it kind of, it wrote itself. I felt like I was just, you know, a kind of a vessel in this thing. I didn't plan to see this stuff. I told you I was just there, you know, at ground zero, and this thing happened. And so it really kind of wrote itself, and I really didn't have to do anything. But I had no question that this was really for now. This is really, I have no question that this is God's message. It's an urgent thing, and it's for now. And that's why I think I really didn't have to do anything. And there is a scripture in Ezekiel where it says basically, it says if you have a watch judgment on a land, you know, you have to blow, you see danger, you got to blow the trumpet. If you don't blow the trumpet, you're guilty. So I keep getting, you know, every time I open up the Bible, it always opens up to that. So, you know, yes, I feel I have to, and not by choice, you know, because I know it's going to be controversial, but I have no question that I have no choice on it.
Let's go to Chelsea, Massachusetts. Jeff, we'll get you going here. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, yes. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Very simple. Comment and a question.
Sure.
Just a comment, which is very, very simple. The reason why September 11th happened and why future judgment is coming to America, this is not Leviticus 18 and Genesis chapter 12, is homosexuality or homosexual marriage, abortion, and the dividing of Israel. We continue down this path of doing this. What's going to happen is God will decapitate the New England area and the West Coast and allow Russia, China, and the Middle East to come and invade this country, take the food away, rape the women, and allow cannibalism in this country, like it says in
cannibalism. Well, you know, there's some people that think we need to repent here, Jonathan. I don't think the harbinger goes that far.
Well, it's a call. We have to come back. And, you know, however you call it, you know, there is, it's interesting, Billy Graham, I believe, was reputed to say, he said, if there's not judgment in America, then God owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. You know, so the thing is that, you know, we have to, you know, the part of God is to call back, is mercy. And it's never that he wants to. So, you know, we have to keep that heart in it, and we need to be praying and being part of the answer.
Jeremy in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Jeremy, your turn.
Good morning, George. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
I have one question for you and then one question for Jonathan. Have you ever seen The Lone Gunman?
Yes, some time ago. It's been a long time.
Okay, and my question for Jonathan is, if this was something that God showed you and you believe that wholeheartedly and it was a divine message, that you really, in your own words, didn't have to do much, it wrote itself, how can you believe that it's a good thing to profit from selling this information?
Well, first of all, I don't do anything for that. I've always ministered regardless of anything, you know, and when I and for years I would seek to, you know, always to give as much as I could away. I still try. So that has never been my motive in my life. My motive, as anybody who knows me, is to simply really be obedient and to do God's will, and that's it. You know, and I've never did something before, and you know, I haven't done it. That's basically it. It just started, and you know, I'll be led with whatever else I do, and with what happens, I'll be led the same way.
Well, and as we know in the book business, you don't make a lot of money on books.
That's what they say. So far, I haven't seen it.
The Lone Gunman, by the way, was based on fictional characters.
Okay.
And they had it was just different. It was the theory of John F. Kennedy, of the assassination, and it evolved. It was pretty good at the time. All right, let's go back to the phones. Diane in Forest Hill, California, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Diane.
Yes, I wanted to thank you, George, for letting me on your show.
Of
and
course.
I had a comment and then a question for Jonathan Kahn. First of all, I know George Washington was a Freemason, and he was the one that dedicated Mystery Ground. Has anybody checked to see if the other three people were that spoke the rebuild language of the verse of judgment?
I don't think anybody's checked. I mean, because it's just coming out now. I don't think so.
Because they could be having
I wonder how they could have even have done this. Could their speech writers, would if they just looked a few verses before or a few verses after, they would realize that this is a verse of judgment. But they all did it. So yeah, I've never heard one explanation of how this could have happened.
Then I had one more comment. Basically, the Bible teaches us to go back to the ways of loving our fellow man and not judging. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the major message of all of it. Just turn around and love your fellow man.
The ultimate thing in the Bible is, you see, sum it up, you know, Jesus said love God and love your neighbor as yourself, you know, and coming back, and that is the spiritual core.
The Harbinger, the book by Jonathan Kahn. Let's go to James in Denver, Colorado on Skype. James, go ahead.
Okay, yes, let's continue on to what I was saying. The teaching instructor, like, I mean, how he just put all this together, I mean, it's just another revelation. For, like he said, when Solomon was the king of Israel, and the nations were scattered. I mean, that's very interesting, because if you go into that story, you will find out some very interesting history that people are not being taught, especially us people here in the United States. And it's just remarkable how, you know, George Washington, the little church in New York, fits into all of this. I mean, it shows that, you know, he was, our Heavenly Father was part of our country in the beginning. And like you said, we're taking it all away, and it's pretty sad.
Well, interesting, because if you go back even further, at the very beginning of America, you have other leaders who actually dedicated the whole land and actually spoke about a covenant and said, even prophesied. I mean, this is from like 1630, you know, where it's saying that if we follow, you know, if we follow God's ways, if we live as a righteous nation, we'll be the most, America will be the most lifted up, blessed nation on earth. But it says, if we turn away, then all these blessings are going to be removed. And they actually formed America to be a new Israel, and they used the prophecies of Israel. So it's real interesting that here America has been the most blessed nation, and we've followed this pattern, but now we're following the pattern of what happened at the end.
And in your opinion, Jonathan, all these omens, they're already done, right? Or are more or new ones popping up?
I would say this. All the nine omens have been accomplished, but they are still affecting everything. And yes, the second part of the harbinger is beyond the nine omens are the mysteries, and even the thing we said with George Washington. But there are mysteries happening that have affected everything up to the economic collapse and now. So yes, it really goes up till now. And people say there's going to be a sequel. I'm kind of waiting on that, but I think there's going to be more.
Let's go to Kathy in Monroe, New York, first time caller. Hi, Kathy. Go ahead.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hi.
I want to ask you if you think what just happened, the violent storms that we got hit as a country with, these tornadoes and hailstorms, they said the worst in 24 years.
Many deaths.
This happened about 24 hours after they refused to pass the Blunt Amendment that would have given Christians and people of faith an exemption to the abortion pill and such that they find morally and conscientiously objectionable.
So you're
they
thinking
pass that, and
maybe
then,
maybe divine providence created that, huh, Jonathan?
Well, I've heard a lot. You know, it has been extraordinary. I've heard even secular commentators saying, like, what is this? You know, like this many tornadoes, hurricanes. And there are some parallels, and you see that, and there's also a whole other realm that, the Bible also says that, also as you bless Israel, and there's a whole thing where people have charted out natural disasters to when certain events happen that way as well. So I couldn't say no, but it's certainly very striking and startling how severe and how concentrated this is.
Well, if you look at like the book of Genesis, you realize that the God of that era was a very angry God. And, I've not been a believer that there is an angry God, but there was then. What about now?
Well, the ultimate thing is, the key is that, the Bible says God is love. So the ultimate thing is that, but at the same time, can he, could he bless, for instance, Nazi Germany? No. I mean, you have to deal with evil. So it's not a matter of one thing. Says the heart of God. One of the verses is that none should perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish, even the wicked. He says, I don't want any. But there's also then the other part of evil. So what do you do? So that is the dilemma, and that is the big thing.
We're going to Montreal now on the international line. Mike, it's you.
That's me.
Yep.
Good evening, George.
Hi.
Two questions. I wonder how his book and his general impressions co-align with the potential fact or alleged fact that there was at least, that there's a very minimum U.S. government involvement, at least in knowing, if not actively participating, in the dropping of the towers, and how that relates to those that are supposedly in power and those that are really pulling the strings, whether you want to call it the Illuminati or the top of the Masons. It's interesting that sort of coincides with what your earlier caller, the woman who was talking about the involvement of the Masons, because a lot of people do believe that the extreme upper structure of the Masons is what comprises the Illuminati as such, and how they may have, in fact, orchestrated the entire thing.
Well, and there is that camp out there, Jonathan, that believes that 9/11 was orchestrated by others, beyond just those that were involved.
Yeah, well, I would say that with the Harbinger is going to the macro picture, the ultimate thing. That however it happened, it is dealing with something that is from 2,500 to 3,000 years old. So beyond and behind all and whomever, there is something much bigger and deeper that involves the entire fate of America, and that is an ancient thing that we are all part of.
John in Long Beach, California. I was just there yesterday at the Health Freedom Expo. Go ahead, John.
And you didn't stop by and say hi, George.
I know. I was so busy.
I just want to mention all these predictions of the future and all that. I think they're specious to say that. I don't think you can go into the future. You can just make predictions, and if they come about, they do. If they don't, you know, you were wrong. But, you know, if you could go into the future, then everything's preordained, and we're told in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, that we have free will, and nothing's preordained. So, you know, 600 years ago, whatever it was, the Aztecs were saying 2012. I don't put any stock in that, because they can't go into the future and see, and because we're supposed to, if nothing's supposed to be preordained. So, say you can go into the future and experience that and see what happened, or even predict. Really, it's just predictions. It's specious. You can't really go into the future because unless the Bible's wrong. Unless we're told that things aren't preordained. I mean, we're told they aren't preordained, and this would say that they were.
Well, let me say this. You know, first of all, the Bible, while it certainly speaks of having free will, at the same time, clearly, the Bible is filled with prophecies, and prophecies from even, you know, of this very thing that we're talking about now. This comes from Isaiah, which he actually prophesied the whole thing that would happen to Israel. So it is, while there, you know, God knows what people are going to do. We don't, but God does, and he reveals it. And so you have the prophetic gift, and in the New Testament, you have it just as well. I mean, it is based on Old Testament prophecy. So, the other thing is, the point is, these are happening, you know, and it's not that somebody's trying to control it. I mean, Tom Daschle had free will, and yet he did the thing. You know, everybody had free will, and yet they ended up enacting it. So there's a mystery here. But, you know, there is one who knows the future, and that's what the Harbinger is about, the omens that are manifesting just as they did, and it happened. So, and still, we're being called, you know, to make a choice.
Okay, next up, we'll go to Wendy in Montana, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Wendy.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah,
okay,
we can.
Okay, good, because you're having a problem. Listen, I thought maybe you could help me. I had a dream, and I know that, but you're talking about scrolls, and you're talking about all these prophecies. And I had a dream, and this is back in, like, the spring of 2008, and I had a dream that I was being handed these scrolls, and it was like I was in this room with all these broken people. But the thing that was real I wondered about it is on the scroll, and actually I broke the seal, and I saw in silver lettering, which people have told me is a spiritual thing, and the number was 1102. And I don't know if you can help me with this.
1102, like November 2nd, you mean?
Well, it wasn't anything divided. It was just 1102. And
maybe it's a time, too.
You know, I've wondered about this for a while. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know if we can give you a good answer in terms of what it means. Do you want to take a jump at that, Jonathan?
Well, not a big jump, but
a little jump.
That in the Bible, you know, the dream, I would, you know, dreams can be, you know, can be of meaning and significance, but that doesn't mean every dream is. So you have to use discernment with all these things, you know. And the Bible, you know, that does speak, prophetic imagery does speak of scrolls and seals. You see that in the book of Revelation, and scrolls are often things of unveiling. Actually, and in the Harbinger, there is a mention in the narrative of a dream and has a scroll and the whole thing. So it could be, but you have to test that and, you know, test it with a word.
Let's go to Jacksonville, Florida. Al, welcome to the show. You with us?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, Al. Go ahead.
Yes, I just called, and I've been listening to your show a lot lately, George, and it just seems like a lot of your guests lately, everything that happens, especially negative, they try to relate it to the president in some way. And they always say something about the Antichrist. I know a lot of your past guests, they always say the Antichrist is mostly believed to be European, and somebody that everybody likes.
Or Middle Eastern.
We have not, is not one. It's not one of those.
I don't think the Antichrist is born yet. Some people say he is, but
I noticed a lot of your guests, they seem to kind of correlate him with President Obama for some reason.
No, he's not.
Well, let me put you assurance.
He's not the
answer. Nothing in the harbinger putting him as that at all. In fact, I try to not mention names when I could. And it's not a matter whether Democrat or Republican. It's just it's not that people are trying to do this. Without trying to or intending to, they are doing it. It's happening. So it's not a matter of
That's
their
right.
intent.
Whether they
it's
make a happening. Speech or do what they do, it's just happening.
Yeah.
Most of them probably aren't even aware of the things you've seen.
I don't even know if they're aware yet. I mean, unless, you know, people are saying, we got to get this book to Congress, got to get it. So maybe they will be, but I don't know if they have been yet.
It is kind of scary, though, Jonathan. All kinds of prophecy seems to be steering in the same direction.
Yes, and that there's a principle of witnesses, and when you get this, you know, and the general thing that should make us pause and say, wait a minute, you know, let's make sure we're right here.
Are you scared? Does this frighten you?
No, I'm not. I mean, and the main thing is, and this is also in the book because it goes to the answer, but the main thing is that you know, people say, well, you know, where we go for safety, you know, we go to the Midwest and build walls, and that's not the answer. I mean, it's not the answer prophetically. The answer is that, you know, you want to be if you're right with God, you're okay. And you know, somebody mentioned you know, in the New Testament, actually, people don't realize sometimes that when they say the word Jesus, the original word is Yeshua, which actually means safety. You know, it means
That's
salvation
right.
or safety. And so the main thing is get right. If you're right, you know, I'm speaking to everyone, you know, you don't have to fear these things. And I don't fear, you know, I mean, of course, I mean, I guess I have concern for America and for people, but for myself, I don't.
All right. Every time I heard the word harbinger, I always thought of harbinger of things to come. So this very well could be a great title for the book, by the way. And Jonathan, thank you so much. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.